Good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke 16. Now he was saying to his to the disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and this steward was reported to him as squandering his possessions. And he called him and said to him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward." And the steward said to himself, "What shall I do, since my master is taking the stewardship away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I'm removed from the stewardship, they will receive me into their homes." And he summoned each one of his master's debtors, and he began saying to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, "Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, "And how much do you owe?" And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. And his master praised the unrighteous steward because he had acted shrewdly. For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by means of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. He who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, who will entrust the true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things, and they were scoffing at him. And he said to them, You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God. And the law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since then, the gospel of the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it. But it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of a letter of the law to fail. Everyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery, and he who marries one who is divorced from a husband commits adultery. Now there was a certain rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, gaily living in splendor every day. And a certain poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table, besides even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now it came about that the poor man died, and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, cool off my tongue, for I'm in agony in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great chasm fixed, in order that those who wish to come over from here to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us." And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment." For Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." But he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." But he said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead." Amen. All right, at Luke 16. The unrighteous steward, okay? Now, I have to just tell you up front, okay? This is a very difficult passage to dissect a little bit, but I'm going to try to help you guys out just a little bit in this. The key when you look at this parable, actually, is don't think about the unrighteous part, okay? If you focus on that, then you'll miss the meaning of what Jesus is trying to tell his disciples. The key is not necessarily in the steward, right? Well, part of the steward, the key is actually in the steward's attitude towards the rich man, towards his master, right? Even though he was unrighteous, right? He did a lot of bad things, and you know, now the master says, "Okay, you know, let's clean the table. Let's find out what you've been doing." This unrighteous steward, right, who deserved to go to jail, who deserved all these things, he recognized first and foremost that his master was merciful. He recognized that his master was very reasonable. You know, and so even though he deserved punishment and he deserved to go to jail and, you know, and all kinds of, you know, debtor prison and all kinds of these things, you know, he understood the character of his master and thus acted accordingly. You know, and in some ways, you can say that he actually moved in faith. You know, I mean, that's a bit of a stretch, okay? But I'll just throw that out there. You know, and so when he was operating, when he moved, right, it's not the fact that he was unrighteous. It's the fact that he understood who his master was. Right? He understood that, well, even if he went about this way and took care of this thing, right, that he would receive mercy from his master. There's actually another parable that kind of parallels that as well. You know, and so now remember, when we look at parables, right, it's a teaching, you know, that's kind of a picture of another reality, right? And the reality that Jesus wants us to have, you know, when we think about these aspects is, you know, really the character of God. You know, it's not in this passage, but in a lot of parables, you'll have this theme that talks about how much more, you know, and I mean, you know, to me, honestly, if they would have put that how much more in there, I could have understood this a lot easier, you know, than this, but I'll draw from the other parables, you know, that bring in this. And so the unrighteous part is an irrelevant issue, okay? So don't focus on that part, you know, but focus on what this unrighteous steward did understand about his master, you know, and now, if you're thinking, you know, some people will dissect this and say, does that mean that, okay, then we just, you know, go out and do whatever we need to do, you know, so we need money for our building fund. Should we go rob the bank, you know, by all means? Of course not, right? Because Jesus, right alongside, goes right in and talks about, you know, that you cannot have two masters, okay? So there must be a bigger meaning beside this, right? So let's continue on. And the key is verse 10. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. And he asks the question, if you are unfaithful, right, in the use of unrighteous mammon, who will entrust the true riches to you? Right? In other words, you know, he just very clear. He says that if you, the next verse, if you've been faithful or have not been faithful in the use of what which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? You cannot serve two masters. You know, you'll either love one and hate the other, you know, and you cannot serve God and mammon. You know, and he draws a very powerful spiritual principle, right? You know, God will entrust to people who he trusts. That's what that word means, entrust, right? It means I trust you. You know, and so what happens in our life is God throws things our way, you know, and it's not necessary to test us, because God knows what's in our heart, but a lot of times we don't know what's in our heart, you know? And it takes situations and things come our way, you know, and it comes down to, well, are we faithful to the promises? You know, are we faithful to what God has given to us? You know, and out of that faithfulness, God says, man, I'll give you so much more, you know? And if you're not even faithful in this very little thing, how can God say, how can I trust you with what I really want to give to you? You know, which is even greater than you can ever imagine. You know, and so this I mean, simple aspect of being faithfulness, you know, or being faithful is so important. You know, and it's not about the big things. You know, I don't know if you figured it out yet, but the kingdom of God operates on the small stuff. You know, the big stuff comes when you're faithful with the small stuff. You know, and I know a lot of us, you know, we want to be used by God, and, you know, we want to, you know, to experience different things, and, you know, we want to receive certain things, but yet in our hearts, we're not even willing to do the little stuff, you know? I mean, just the little stuff, you know? I mean, you know, even at church, right? You know, we want these gifts, you know, we want to be used powerfully in these things, but there are so many little stuff, you know, that is involved to make a church run. And many of us, we're not unwilling to do that, because we're looking for the big stuff, right? And he says, no, you got to be faithful in the little things, right? In those tiny little details. And out of that, right, things will just flow. You know, I know in my own life, you know, a lot of, you know, I mean, just real simple case in point is really, you know, the issue of money, right? You know, every man of God, woman of God has to cross this hurdle of money, right? They just must at some point in their ministry, in their life, in their livelihood, right? And I can remember, you know, going through a small season, and I think God was really testing me to see if he could trust me, you know? And these uncanny things would happen, you know? I mean, simple things like, you know, I'd go to Costco, you know, and the lady would give me more change, you know, or, you know, I'd go to some store. I mean, I think for a period of about 2 weeks, you know, like three or four times, I received more change than I gave, right? You know, like I gave $5, you know, to buy something, and the lady gave me change for $20. You know, and, you know, when I was not a believer, I'd say, hallelujah, you know, the Lord is good, right? You know, but then as I came to know Jesus Christ, I realized, you know what? And I happened to actually be reading a book right around that time as well on leadership. And it talked about, you know, these integrity checks and word checks and, you know, and these kind of things. And I recognized, wow, I'm in one of these tests, you know, and, you know, praise God, you know, I had the strength to give the money back and in certain situations. And I think the Lord trusted me after that. I mean, it's just simple things like that. It, you know, we talk about in the idea area of service as well, right? You know, we want to be, you know, a house church leader, or we want to do this, or we want to do that, or, you know, all these kind of things. But yet we're unwilling to do, like, the little stuff, you know, like taking out the trash and, you know, cleaning up, or, you know, or, you know, helping, you know, translate some, I don't know what, you know, these little menial things, right, that we're not looking to, you know, to serve, and yet we want all these things from God, you know, and it doesn't work that way. It's never worked that way. You know, that's not how God operates. This is, you know, the spiritual principle that he lays in front of us. And then he goes on, and I'll just close with the last one. Well, a rich man and Lazarus, and it's interesting to note that in all the parables and the stories that Jesus says, right? Do you remember the phrase that he says? There was a certain man, there was a certain Samaritan, there was a certain this. First parable that he actually named someone. And so most scholars believe this is not an imagined thing. This is actually a real situation. And so in some ways, God, Jesus, is giving us a window into the spiritual realm. Well, have you ever wondered, well, what happens when you die? You know, I mean, what's going on here? And if you actually take this passage and lay it out kind of systematically, you know, you kind of know what he's talking about. And so here's this rich man, and he lived a very, you know, prosperous life here on earth. And then he died, right? And then you have Lazarus, who was a beggar, you know, incapacitated. Even so, he couldn't even, you know, knock the dogs away that were licking his sores. Well, they both die, and Lazarus goes into the bosom of Abraham. In other words, the place of perfect peace, right? You know, into his father's bosom, right? That'd be typical of a father God, you know, kind of motif. And then the other, and the rich man is suffering. There's this great chasm between them. They are in hell, okay? And so if you don't understand, but hell, not necessarily what we think of hell, you know, but they're in a waiting place. And they can look at each other, and they see, and Abraham, you know, and Lazarus is just chilling, calm, perfect peace. And the rich man, who didn't care about anyone in their whole life, is in torment, and now has concern for someone else. I mean, one, that's how bad hell is, right? I mean, you know, it's like, just let him just dip his finger, right, to cool me. Remember, hell is the waterless realm, right, if you get the idea. That's where, you know, people talk about fire and stuff. It's not necessarily fire, but it's because it's the waterless realm, you know, purely by definition, right? And so, you know, people have these motifs and pictures of hell and whatnot, but it's a place of torment and agony, you know? And so, and Lazarus is in that place of perfect peace, right? And so, you know, again, the person in the scriptures that talks most about judgment and hell than any other person in the Bible is Jesus Christ. And he's giving us a picture of what hell is like. Now, if you remember later in the New Testament, right, he says that part of our Apostles' Creed, he descended into hell, right, and then he ascended, right, and he took, you know, a host of captives and gave gifts to men, if you remember the passage. That's what he's talking about. And so what Lazarus, the place that he went to, is the waiting place, right, until Jesus Christ comes, until the Messiah comes. And when the Messiah, you know, remember when he descended into hell, that's what he did. He took these guys, Lazarus, and all the ones that were before the crucifixion, right, before the resurrection, he took them, and he took them unto, you know, what Paul will later call the third heaven, all right? You know, I know it's probably too much systematic theology for the morning for you guys, but I just wanted to give you a picture of what that's like and how this kind of fits into the full of the New Testament, you know, talking about, you know, the heaven and hell and those kind of things, right? So let's close our eyes today. And let's focus on that part a little bit. Not about Lazarus, you know, because, man, we passed over from judgment, you know, praise God. But about this whole idea of being faithful. Are you waiting to serve God? In other words, are you waiting for, like, that big assignment from the Lord? Instead of just being faithful in the little stuff that God asks you to do? As you pore over your lives, are you faithful in what God has given to you? I know that a few mornings ago, man, I was really, really convicted. You know, I remember years back, I promised to give to a certain organization, and I just really lazy. I just didn't do it. And man, the Lord really spoke to me that morning. It was actually right out of one of the, you know, the teachings that I was doing. And I realized, man, I better go and write that check, you know, right away. And I realized, wow, I hadn't been faithful with what I committed myself to. But have you been faithful with what God has given to you? Or do we say, well, I did it, right? I mean, I earned it myself. I achieved this. Because being faithful is really about being grateful, right? And it's saying, God, you did it. Thank you. This is yours. It's not mine. Right? Remember, the key thing was he was a steward. Friends, we are all stewards. What do you have that's not already given to you? And God simply wants faithfulness. And when that happens, man, he's going to pour out more than you can handle. That's what Jesus does. And so Samantha leads us in a song. I really want to encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to scope through our lives and find areas that we've not been faithful, where we've made commitments and not come through. But see, I don't want you to have this be a guilt trip, right? But more as an opportunity to obey. And just obey, because God has so much more for you. He's got bigger things for your lives.
My whole life I place in your hand, God of mercy, humbled I bow down. Lord, all eyes at your throne. My whole life, my whole life I place in your hand, God of mercy, humbled I bow down. In your presence at your throne, and I call, you answer, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are. And I call, you answer, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are. In my life, be lifted high in the love, be lifted high in our love. And you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are.
Let's pray that over our lives and over our church, and that we would find ourselves to be faithful to the Lord. Whatever God calls us to do, we'd have the courage and the faith to live that out. Individually, as a body, no matter what. Because we trust Him. Because He's good and He's loving. His will is best. Right? His directives are always right. And He's always loving. And when we understand those things about God, it's very easy to give and to serve and to love and to obey. And so let's pray on two parts here. Let's pray for a real mindset change in our lives, individually as a church, that we recognize we truly know who God is. And then the other flip side is, because we know who He is, we are faithful and we obey. Well, let's pray. Let's lift up our house churches meeting tonight. Let's pray for Causeway Bay, for McDonald Road, for Tregunter, for Kowloon, and for Robinson Road. Let's ask the Lord to bless these five house churches. This is the busiest night during the week for house church. And let's pray for all the leaders and ask the Lord to use them and to draw them into intimate relationship. They may lead others into an intimate relationship. Pray for worship and real, genuine, loving community to flow. All right, let's just lift up tonight before God. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Cambodia. And let's ask God to continue to bless the ministry there and bless New Life Church and Pastor O as he is continuing on in his PhD. Ask God to continue to strengthen him and a lot of his study projects that are coming up, that the Lord would really have his way and God would just continue to move. And pray for our summer trip coming up with the worship team and the worship conference, that would really bring glory to Jesus and train many people around them. So let's just lift up the whole of this country and all the projects to the Lord. Let's pray for our building. Let's ask God to just give us wisdom as we make our bid, and God will give us a number and just the whole process, and pray for all the stuff that goes along with that, you know, getting our financial reports audited and getting our government status and all the background work that needs to be done as well as the funds that need to come in. And I just want to encourage you guys, it's coming in every week. God's being so faithful to us, and let's just continue to pray that just a blessing over the people that are giving, right? Let's lift up this whole project. Let's pray for our brother Kiwan, right? So let's ask him to bless him this year. Let's pray for his wife, Christina. Kiwan, you're a lucky guy, man. She put you two, first and second in prayer requests. Wow. And let's pray for Paul Marriott as well. Lord, we thank you, God. We bless you for today, Father. And I pray, God, that whatever you're speaking to us about, Lord, in the area of faithfulness, God, that we would just obey quickly. God, that we'd be faithful in those little things, God, because we love you, because you love us more than anything else, Lord, and that you have only good things in store for your people, God. And so help us to do our part, God. You're so willing to do your part, Lord. And help us to join you, God, in what you desire to do, God, throughout Hong Kong, Asia, the ends of the earth, Father. We just want to say yes, God, individually and as a church, Lord. We thank you. Watch over us this day, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today. We'll see you tomorrow.